the same. There's only one way to touch Him. Oh, just believe when you call on His name. A woman tried me. She grew worse, so to Jesus she came. And as they tried to restrain her, she just whispered these words through her pain. Touching Jesus, that's all that really matters. And then your life will never be the same. There's only one way to touch her. Oh, just be. And they said Jesus could meet my every need. When this prisoner finally met Jesus, He set me free. Oh, praise His name, I'm free indeed. Oh, it's touching Jesus, that's all that really matters. And then your life will never be the same. There's only one way to touch Him. Oh, just believe when you call on His name. Oh, it's touching Jesus, that's all that really matters. And then your life will never be the same. There's only one way to touch Him. Oh, just believe when you call on His name. Amen. God bless you. Everybody seems to be in fear of something this morning, so I thought it'd be fitting. Lord, lay this on my heart, so you sing this with me. Amen.
Lord, you unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song. It's a child of God.
This morning. Amen. Best thing I've ever done is falling in love with Jesus. You help me sing this morning.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love.
Thank you, Jesus. We feel protected this morning.
In His arms, never disconnected. No, in His arms, I feel protected. There's no place I'd rather be in His arms. In His arms, I in His arms, never disconnected. In His arms, I feel protected. There's no place I'd rather be. Oh, falling in love with Jesus. Oh, falling in love with Jesus. Oh, falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. Once more.
With Jesus this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Truly the best thing that we could have ever done. God bless you. It's good to be in service this morning. I have an announcement here that there'll be information emailed out to the sisters regarding spring cleaning here at the church for the March the 28th, and also some information on a meal train for Sister Patty. So if you can check those. I stuck here in the testimony slot that it's good to see Brother Buckles back in church this morning. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can we give him a hand clap of praise? Quite a testimony to see our brother restored and have him back with us. God bless you, brother. It's good to have you back in service. As we go to prayer, please remember Brother Michael Wirtz in prayer, as he will be having hip replacement surgery on Monday morning. Brother Layton, turn in a prayer request here for Sister Linda Branham. She has had a severe infection in her knee. The doctors have had to remove her leg this morning. It's going on probably right now or earlier this morning. The infection was so strong and moving fast that they had to remove her leg after a knee operation that she had that didn't go well. She's also suffering from severe colon cancer, which cannot be treated until this knee situation is taken care of. So definitely want to remember our sister in prayer. Brother Joshua Johnson is not feeling well this morning. A prayer request for Sister Laura Prakash and their boys that are fighting a sinus infection. Please remember Ethan Stutzman in prayer this morning. He's having severe nausea and vomiting. We think some of his medications may be causing it. And also remember Sister April in prayer. Please remember Paul Dirksen in prayer. He's in Belarus having meetings, but he has had to change his travel schedule due to the borders closing. Brother Donnie Reagan collapsed during service last night. They took him to the hospital, and his EKG was normal. They're running further tests to try to determine what caused it. But just remember him in prayer. Also want to remember Sister Dottie Bryan in prayer. She needs a healing touch from the Lord this morning. Sister Sabra Swank says, my grandkids' grandfather who had ALS passed away. Please remember them in prayer. Sister Patty Hanzo asks that we please remember the Waldridge family. They're friends of hers in prayer. They lost a loved one this weekend. And Sister Cheryl Coday is not feeling well this morning. Want to remember her in prayer. Brother Luke Nicholson says, my uncle had a stroke, doesn't remember anyone, and is paralyzed on his right side. Also, his niece has a high fever, and his sister-in-law is sick. So a lot of sickness going around, and just want to remember each one in prayer. If they're not mentioned this morning, and you know someone that's needy or sick, just hold them up before the Lord. Sister Patty Ard is still in pain from surgery. Please continue to remember her in prayer for a complete recovery. Lots of needs, many, many needy prayer requests here, but we serve an all-knowing, prayer-answering God. Brother Aaron Mugo, would you come and take these prayer requests before the Lord? If you have an unspoken prayer request, just make that known to the Lord with an uplifted hand. God bless you. I have another prayer request here, sorry. Please pray for Sister Mary Dalton from Phoenix. She coded last night, remains unconscious in critical condition. So thank you for your prayers in these matters. God bless you.
I like the devil. He wants you to worship him by bowing down to whatever problems in your life. It doesn't matter what the name is. It could be whatever he said. I couldn't remember all of them. I really tried. It was surgeries and so many things that the devil likes to attack us with. But that's just the name the devil goes under. But we have one name to go, and it's just one name God needs. Let's go to him in that name. Heavenly Father, like I said, I couldn't remember all of those prayer requests, Lord, but you didn't tell us to remember every single detail and how to fix it, Lord. That's up to you. Lord, we ask that you come and help those brothers and sisters in their lives and their times of need. Help them in their own individual ways. Lord, we come to you because it's help beyond what we can give. We ask that you just step in and help each one of them, Lord. Please mend the broken hearts, whether it be spiritual or physical pain and ailments, Lord. It doesn't matter if it's death. We just trust that you will come and be a blessing to them. Lord, we give this service into your hands. Lord, we ask that you help our brother as he brings the word to us. We thank you for helping him travel here, keeping him safe. We ask that you help all of us to yield ourselves and to be a blessing in one way or another. We ask all this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning, friends. This morning we're going to read the 91st. It's 9-1, 91st chapter of the book of Psalms. In light of all the things that are going on around the world and all the fear that the news and the governments are trying to put on us, let's remember who we serve. I like what the pastor said, and I hope you understood him. I think it was, he said, Churchill, one of the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. FDR, one of them. And that's true. And that's what the devil wants all of us to do, is to get into that spirit of fear. But the Bible says God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. We're his children. His blood flows through our veins. If you don't know who you are, find out. And then you won't have to worry about it. As I tell them, making a joke, forgive me, Pastor, but I'm more afraid of running out of toilet paper than I am of the coronavirus. The insanity when we look and see what's going on over a little old bug that God can heal and more have recovered than have died. Folks, it's just, the world's gone crazy just like the prophet of God told us. All right, 91st chapter, which has to do with fear, by the way, if you read it right. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence.
He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler.
Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. A thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee.
Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked.
Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation.
There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy
dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet.
Because he has set his love on me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, even because he hath known my name.
He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. God bless you, church. Please be seated.
Brothers, would please come at this time. This is 107 in your hymn book.
Oh, there's a country far beyond the starry sky, and there's a city where there never comes a night, and if we're faithful, we shall go there by and by. It's the city where the Lamb is the light. Oh, in that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where there cometh no night. And I've a mansion over there. And when free shines upon us now so bright. It will be changed to clouds and rain until we go. Oh, to that city where the Lamb is the light. Oh, in that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where there cometh no night. Oh, I've a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I am going home. Is the light. There the clouds shall be one eternal day without a night, and our tears shall be forever wiped away. It's in that city where the Lamb is the light. Oh, in that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where there cometh no night. Oh, I've a mansion over. Though by night we weep, the morning brings a smile. It's in that city where the Lamb is the light. Oh, in that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where there cometh no night. And I've a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I am going. Oh, then let sunlight fade, let twilight bring its gloom. Oh, not a shadow can my blissful soul abide. Oh, for I know that up in heaven there is room. It's in that city where the Lamb is. Let's stand and sing it. Oh, in that city where the Lamb is the light. It's in that from toil and care, I am going where the Lamb is the light. Oh, in that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where the cometh no night. Oh, I've a mansion over there. I'm going where the Lamb is the light.
Good to be out in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Boo, devil. Amen. He's always trying to attack somewhere, but we read the back of the book and we win. Amen. It's good to be in service. Brother Ron Lilly is going to be speaking for us this morning. We ask him to come at this time, and just looking forward to what the Lord's laid on his heart. And, you know, there'll be needs this morning that'll be met met by the word that the Lord's given our brother. I believe that. So let's sing this as he comes. Amen. You thankful for mercy this morning?
Mercy, it rewrote my life. It was God's mercy that rewrote my life. It was God's mercy.
Isn't it great to be in His house this morning? Amen. To be in the presence of God. That is my prayer every day. Lord, let me be in Your presence. Because where His presence is, good things happen. Amen. And that's where we want to be. We want to be in His presence. We're glad to be here this morning to fellowship with you. And we sure enjoyed being at the banquet the other night. And as I told him, he put a lot of work in that banquet. And you've been proud of him. Just to see all the work and the effort, the time in, the young people enjoyed it. And special moments in their life, they will never forget. You know, traveling cross country today, I see a lot of the young people we had in our groups years ago, and they still remember things that I can't remember. But it sure changed their life, and we thank God for it. You know, my goal is, and I'm sure their goal is the same way, if you can just help one person, it's worth it all. So I know the Lord will bless them for their effort. This morning, as we, if you will, turn your Bibles, we'll go straight into the message. I promise not to sing. I want to keep you all here. So you musicians can be seated. You're down with the folks there. I've told you my fishing story before, how the fish quit biting when I started singing. So we want to keep you here today. Genesis chapter 4, we'll read this morning. I don't have prescription glasses, but I've got a lot of Walmart specials laying around. I lose them. I'm pretty good at it. So, you know, time tarries. You get a little older. And you're not a young man anymore. My wife, Rhonda, is 6 months older than I am. And her prayer over the years, which she never told me until it happened, she said, I pray that the Lord would let you get gray first. And I said, well, I didn't even get a chance to pray against your prayer. So I told her, when I get on the other side, I'm going to ask the Lord, why'd you let me go gray first? But anyway, you know how it is with husbands and wives, but we're sure glad to be here this morning. Our family would have liked to have been here. They were at the funeral of Sister Carol Kinzer yesterday. I'm sure I remember that family in prayer. But they would have liked to have been here today. Genesis chapter 4, beginning with verse number 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, of the fat thereof. Now the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and his offering, he had not respect. Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be given, shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Cain talked with Abel, his brother. Came to pass that when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And that's, you may be seated. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word today. The scripture I've read is going to seem like a little different than the way we're going to go. And so we want to look at a topic today of the fire and the wind. And you're going to say, how in the world did he get that out of the book of Genesis? And I tell you, I'm going to make myself at home. For you. Anyway, I heard a quote the other day. It was actually one of the quotes of the day several months back. And was listening to it on the power of decision. Brother Branham was speaking. And he makes a quote there. He makes a statement that it stuck with me for several days, and so I began to study and look at it and to look into what God was trying to get our attention. I'm glad God does that. He gets our attention. Because sometimes even as ministers, we'll go by it. And then God will stop you and bring you back to it. And it's so good that God is mindful of us that way. And usually when we look at it, it's something we needed to know. And it's something that helps us. And Scripture says here, but the quote says, "And Moses went forward packing a stick. And we find out the Red Sea opened because a mighty wind followed that fire, the light of God." Brother Brandon made that statement. And so I begin to look at what happened there with Moses and the words that he used, got to looking it up. And so it took me back, my study then, to the Genesis chapter 4. And we look at Abel. We see that Cain and Abel were brothers, even though we know they were two different seeds there. One was the seed of the serpent, and we know one was the seed of God. And then, of course, we can say the seed of Adam. And so we're looking at Abel as we read the scripture that the boys heard the teaching of their mother and father. They knew what happened in the garden. You know, a lot of the church world today doesn't know what happened in the garden. You know, surely our world as a whole today, here in the United States, I told somebody, you know, they can't even recognize which bathroom they got to go to, much less know what the scripture says. I like a little gas station at home down in Marmette. I was there the other day and walked in, and they said, you know, there's the men's and the women's bathroom, and then in the middle they had confused. And I thought it was so good. Hey, God bless them. They had a revelation. These people are confused. For the confused, that's their bathroom. So I thought that was pretty good. But, you know, the world, you know, just doesn't recognize today. We're such a blessed people. Not that we're better than anybody else. We're surely not better than anybody else. We're just sinners saved by grace. But we're so glad that God has sent a revelation in this day, and we can enjoy the truth of the God's word and the real story of the Bible and all it has to tell us. We can enjoy those today because God sent a prophet in this age and it was revealed to us. Amen. It wasn't that we're anybody great, but I know one thing. We are truly blessed today. Amen. We are truly blessed. So we look here and we see Adam, you know, and Eve and the fall of garden. We won't go into that for time's sake, but as the fall came in the garden, and you know, Cain and Abel knew the story. They heard the testimony. They saw the change in the lives of Adam and Eve. You know, before Adam and Eve were different, they could probably tell, well, before this happened, it was this way. Just the same way as we look today in the scriptures, you know, before this happened, this was this way or this was that way. You know, we didn't get old. We weren't sick. We weren't... As we were talking about achievement the other night at the banquet. You know, sin is the achievement of Satan. Right. That's his achievement. Anytime you go by a hospital or you go by a funeral home, you hear an ambulance go down the road. That's an achievement of Satan. Right. But thank God, God's greater than Satan's achievements. Amen. He is today, and we thank God for that. And so they were no doubt telling the story. They heard it many times, what happened. And the truth, because you know the desire for Adam and Eve was to be in the presence of God. They knew what it was to be in God's presence. They wanted to be in the presence of God. So no doubt, they told the boys, "If you want to go back, if you want to if you want God to bless you, it's the same story we say today. Then you approach God right, and He will bless you with His presence." And He will give unto you all you have need of. And these boys were worshipers. Brother Branham said they were sincere. Abel was sincere. Cain was sincere. They were sincere. Even though Cain heard it time and time again, he still couldn't get out of his mind and his heart God's provided way. He wanted to come back, but he was trying to do it his way. He was doing his way because he couldn't help it. He was born with that seed in him, and he couldn't see anything different. He saw the reality of what happened. He saw what is going on. He heard the testimonies thereof. And Abel heard the same testimonies. He heard the same teaching. And he wanted to come God's provided way. So he'd go get a little lamb that he would take. Brother Branham said he'd put it on the altar. He'd maybe take a vine or something, and he would tie that lamb to the altar. And he would take a rock, and he would hack to throw that little lamb. And he there would put his hands on that lamb and ask God to forgive him of his sin. Now, God chose a lamb. This little lamb didn't do anything to anybody. This little lamb was just a little lamb. But he paid the price every time man sinned. He paid the price. And so there it was. He was putting his hand on there. Cain said, oh, you know, that's not my kind of sight today. He said, I didn't like all that blood. He said, I'm going to bring fruit. I'm going to bring flowers. I'm going to make a beautiful altar. It's not going to have blood on it. It's not going to be all messy in his eyes. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day. We were talking about communion and foot washing. A young lady's a teacher at our high school there at home. And we were talking about foot washing. She says, you guys still believe in foot washing? I said, yes, we do. She goes, that's unsanitary. I said, unsanitary? It's the best thing we need. Amen. I said, I don't have a problem washing my brother's feet. And I'm sure the sisters are the same way. It might be unsanitary to you, but it's a blessing to us. Amen. And we thank God for that today. Amen. So looking at this, when Abel was slain, I guess I said all that to say this. Looking at his name and his meaning, the meaning of Abel's name means the breath or the vapor. Breath or vapor is the meaning of Abel's name. In other words, his name meant a vapor. He was named that, but it was just a vapor. Maybe Adam didn't recognize what was going to happen, but God knew what was going to happen. And God provided for it. So it was, his life was just as a vapor. It was just as a small cloud, we could say. Or we could say as a smoke or whatever. It's just a shortness of life because he didn't last very long. So looking at that, I began to think, well, you know, God, you started out with the vapor. You started with a cloud or a smoke or whatever it would be as you would look at vapor. And God used that word many times in the Bible, and we'll talk about that later. And he used the terms of fire and different things. And so we begin to look at that, how that God in the beginning used a vapor, or you could say if you see a cloud today, and we know that is vapor. It's just a small thing, just a small piece. And so, you know, when Cain slew Abel, think about it, then something happened. Brother Branham said that Satan entered into Cain, and he was determined to destroy the righteous seed because Abel was righteous. God had respect to him. And Cain, that because he was inspired by Satan, his desire was to destroy that righteous seed. But thank God he didn't destroy the seed. Because God had a plan for the seed. God knew before the foundation of the world there'd be two seeds upon the earth. The seed of Satan and the seed of God. You know, we thank God for that today, that he recognized that. And so God had a plan. If you'll turn your Bibles, read back to your Bibles to chapter 4 again, verse 25. This is after Abel had passed away. This is after Cain had received the mark. And God said, where's your brother at? He said, am I my brother's keeper? And then he's marked. He's cast out of the presence of God. But verse 25, and Adam knew his wife again as she bare a son. He called his name Seth. For God, she said, if you'll notice that he quotes that, God, she said, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to set to him also there was born a son, called his name Enos, and then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. There was a period of time that when Cain slew Abel, and as we said, God come and talk to Cain, and he said, "Where's your brother at?" And he said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And remember, Brother Branham said, "We are our brother's keeper. We want to be our brother's keeper. We want to be the blessings of God. We want to be our brother's keeper." And so he said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And he said, "When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength, and a fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be upon the earth." Cain said, "The Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. And behold, thou hast driven me this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond upon the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me will slay me." And then the Lord said unto him, "Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold." And the Lord said, "A mark upon Cain, lest any fire should kill him." And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. He left the presence of the Lord. He felt like he was driven out. Why did he feel like he was driven out? Because he refused to come God's provided way. He refused to come God's provided way, and he felt like he was driven out. In reality, that his spirit was so he couldn't accept the word, and he had to leave. But I'm glad today that our goal, every one of us here today, our goal is we want to accept the word of God. We want to come God's provided way. It's not our way, as our brother was talking about the series being preaching here. We want to yield our way, but we want to come God's provided way. So he went out from the presence of the Lord, and he dwelt in the land of Nod to the east of Eden. Scripture said, and he came, can see. He knew his wife, and she could see. Brother Branham said this, that Cain went out of the presence of God, and there he found a wife. Now, I want to dwell on this just a few moments as we talk. This is mainly probably for the young people. Hey, maybe for the older people too. Yeah, I remember I had a couple come to me a few years ago. They wanted to get married. And they were in their 70s. And they said, "We want to get married. Will you do the wedding?" I said, "Well, when are you going to get married?" He said, "2 weeks." I said, "2 weeks? You're acting like a teenager." You know, because I'd planned on being out of town. I was going on a hunting trip. They said, "You're going to have to do a wedding." So I did. I did the wedding. They were in their late 70s, but at the end of the wedding, I said, "Be fruitful and multiply." So I went. Can I turn it off? All right. Anyway, so where, you know, I told you to be fruitful and multiply. 70-some years old, but 2 weeks, they were acting like kids. Now, Brother Bram said this. We're talking about Seth. And Brother Bram said, Cain slew Abel, and God gave Adam another son instead of Abel. His name is Seth. But Brother Bram said it was a sign from God of death and resurrection. In other words, Seth was a type of the resurrection because God was going to bring his seed forth. Abel was slew, but that didn't stop the seed of God. God had more seed coming. In the mind of God, he knew there was more seed coming, and he was going to put a type out there of the death and resurrection. And I'm glad today we're identified with that seed. The seed of God is always identified with the resurrection. Sure, we see death. We see, as there at where Sister Carol Kinzer's funeral yesterday, we're identified with death. But that's not the end of the road for the believer. The believer knows there's a resurrection coming. And God has a predestinated seed upon the earth. He had many more seed coming. You and I are identified with that, that God was going to send us upon the earth today. He had us in his mind before the foundation of the world. They're going to come. They're going to take God at his word. You see, the bride today, we have a God-given ability. We take God at his word and we believe it. Amen. That's our ability to do as believers today. We believe that today, God. That God will send it and we'll believe it. We don't understand it many times. We don't know all the ins and outs of it. All we know is God sent a word and we're to believe it. Amen. It was a sign from God of death and resurrection. So Seth, he said, never went to the land of Nod to get his wife. God gave him a wife. But Cain, with the mark of the beast on him, he went out and got him a wife in the land of Nod. And Seth took God's choice. He's a perfect type of the church. They go out, a denomination church. They said, going out, taking in anything. He's talking about Cain. But the true church of the living God, Christ's body, only takes what the Holy Ghost seals. Perfect. God has set in the church. In other words, he said, Seth did not leave. He stayed at home. He said Seth stayed at home and he was with his father and God gave him a wife. And there starts the lineage. You see, God wasn't just wanting any person to come in. He didn't want him to marry just any person. He wanted him to marry who God wanted him to have. Amen. It's the same thing we say today as young people. We don't want them to just marry anybody. We want them to marry whoever God wants them to have. That's what we instill in our young people from the time they're young until the time we quit talking to them. You've got to go God's provided way. And you've got to do that. Now, I remember Brother Trevor in Canada preaching on the mark of the high calling. And I like hearing what Brother Branham said. He said, a mark is a distinction. It makes a difference. It separates something. You got one mark against you, a mark, but you've never said you've got one seal against you. You got one mark. A seal is a sign of ownership. A mark is a distinction. And the church is sealed by the Holy Spirit, showing ownership. God owns the church. But the mark of the beast is the wayward. The outcast has refused to come and take God's provided way. And as soon as he was marked, Cain was sent away. Abel died and Seth raised up in his place was a sign of the resurrection. And we find out that in Eden, God took and marked Cain and sent him out. But Seth stayed in the presence of God and God gave him his wife. It says that Cain left the presence of God and there he went and found the wife. And Lord knows what he found. But he went and found a wife and then that seed went on. But Seth stayed in the presence of God and God gave him a wife. Now I want to say this today as young people, you know, you talk to them about marriage and we've performed many weddings and we've talked to them and counseled them before the wedding and talked to them. And my greatest advice to them is put God first in your life. Put God first. And there's one little scripture that's real easy. Be ye kind one to another. But put God first. Stay in his presence. Brother Branham said this. Seth knew better than to fall for those beautiful women. And he also said this as we get away from Seth this morning. He said God could not bless Seth until he separated him from Cain. Now that was a good one for me. God could not bless, that's on wisdom versus faith. God could not bless Seth until he separated him from Cain. He marked Cain and sent him into the land of Nod. And Cain with his smart wisdom became scientist and everything else. He grew a crop of that. But Seth under his righteousness and the love and faith in the word of God, he grew a crop that produced a prophet that warned the last days that saved, in the last day, saved every believer, and wisdom destroyed every one of them. Everyone died. Everyone, no matter how many degrees of psychology they had, they perished in the judgments of God. But Seth's seed line, Seth's faith, his faith produced a prophet down the road, which we know was Jesus Christ. And he came to die for the sins of the world. You see, Seth didn't say, look, I'm the only one. He knew there was more coming. He knew that if he did the right thing, God would raise up a standard against sin. You know, today, we don't have to go out and do the big things. Let God do the big things. Now, if God allows us to do it, that's fine. But if we just do the little things, God will bless them. We thank God for that. So Seth, we saw that. Now, I just threw that in this morning as we were studying this morning. Now, if you'll turn your Bible to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 14, verse number 1. And we were looking at this just a few days ago, and we'll start this morning. And the Lord speaking to Moses, saying, speaking to the children of Israel, that they turn and camp before Phil-Hirath and between Migdol, the sea, and against Baal-Zephon, and before it you shall encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, and the wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. Let me stop right there. The people fled is what they said. Well, let me tell you, Israel did not flee Egypt. Israel walked out like a victor. Amen. They walked out. They had all the spoils of Egypt. They walked out like a fighter who just defeated his opponent out of a ring. And when he walked out of there, he was victorious. He could prove that he had won the battle. That the fighter could, because he carried the belt out with him. He was the one that raised in victory. His opponent was defeated. And when Israel left Egypt, they weren't scared. They weren't frightened by the soldiers when they went by. They could see the same spears and swords they may have seen months before, and they were afraid of them. They could see the great chariots there. They might have been afraid of them. They could see the taskmaster standing there. And a few months before, they had respected to him. But this day, when they went out, when they were following Moses out of Egypt, they were walking out victorious. Amen. Their God had provided for them. Yes. He brought the plagues upon Egypt. They heard the Egyptians cry. They knew the death angel came through. The Egyptians, they knew what it was to lose family members. They knew what it was to lose their firstborn, not only of the children, but of the cattle and all their animals. They learned those things. They knew what pain was. They knew what death was. They were defeated. They cried. The frogs were with them. They come to Pharaoh and said, send them out. Send them away. Let them go. That's what they wanted to do. Let them go. They weren't fleeing from them. They walked out victorious. And let me tell you this morning, when we recognize that Jesus Christ won the battle for us at Calvary, we're not scared of Satan anymore. We walk victorious because we know he conquered the battle for us. We know we're victorious this morning. Oh, we might be in a battle. We might be in a valley this morning. But we're not a defeated people today. We're walking victorious today to the tune of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It says they went to him. They said, they're going to say, the people fled. Looking at another scripture, and you don't have to turn to it, is in the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah chapter 19 goes like this. And I like it. And it said, Wherefore the Lord says, wait just a minute here, I got the wrong scripture. I said, as Isaiah 19, and I like this, verse 1 says, and the burden of Egypt, behold, the Lord rideth upon a swift cloud and shall come into Egypt, and the idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence, and the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst of it. And I will set the Egyptians against the Egyptians, and they shall fight everyone against his brother and everyone against his neighbor, city against city and kingdom against kingdom. And the spirit of Egypt shall fail in the midst, and I will destroy the counsel thereof. Let me tell you, when God sent the death angel in, when he sent a prophet in with a stick and a rod in his hand, a one-man invasion come in, and he rallied the church of God. He rallied the people of God. They didn't have to say we were Jews. They already knew they were Jews. We didn't have to say we were Christians years ago. A lot of us knew we were Christians. But God sent us a prophet to let us recognize who we really were. Sons and daughters of God. And they shall seek to the idols and to the charmers that have familiar spirits and to the wizards. And the Egyptians will I give over to the hand of a cruel lord, and a fierce king shall rule over them. Saith the Lord of hosts, saith the Lord of hosts. And the water shall fail from the sea, and the river shall be wasted and dried up. They shall turn the rivers far away, and the brooks of defiance shall be empty and dried up. Then the reeds and flags shall wither, and the paper reeds by the brooks and by the mouth of the brooks, everything sown by the brooks shall wither, be driven away and be no more. The fishers shall also mourn, and they that cast the angle to the brook shall lament, and they that spread nets upon the water shall languish. Moreover, they that work in fine flax and they that weave networks shall be confounded. They shall be broken in the purposes thereof. All that makes sluices into ponds for fish. Surely, here's what we're going to dwell on. Surely the princes of Zoan are fools. The counsel of the wise counselors of Pharaoh has become brutish. How say ye unto Pharaoh, I am the son of the wise, the son of ancient kings. Where are they? Where are the wise men? Let them tell thee now. Let them know that the Lord of hosts have purpose upon Egypt. The princes of Zoan are become fools. The princes of Noph are deceived. They have also seduced Egypt, even they that are the stay of the tribes thereof. The Lord hath mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof, and they have caused Egypt to err in every work there as a drunken man staggereth in his vomit. Neither shall there be any work for Egypt, which the head or tail, branch or rush may do. In that day shall Egypt be like unto women. It shall be afraid and fear because of the shaking of the hand of the Lord of hosts, at which he shaketh over it. And the land of Judah shall be a terror unto Egypt. Everyone that maketh mention thereof shall be afraid in himself because of the counsel of the Lord of hosts, which he hath determined against it. And the rest of that chapter deals with Egypt. But in Zoan, Zoan is where King Pharaoh lived. And he ruled the world from Zoan. That's where he dwelt. That's where he lived. And when Moses came in, Moses didn't go out and say, okay, I'm going to Egypt. I'm going to stand on the outside of Egypt and say, I'm going to show you what God's going to do. He went straight to Pharaoh's house. He went to where he dwelt. He was not as scared of Pharaoh. He met a God that was greater than Pharaoh. Pharaoh was called God himself, but Moses met a greater God than Pharaoh. He met the I Am and the burning bush. Amen. He knew what it was. And we're going to talk about the fire there too and later. But he met him. It changed his life. It did more for him 40 years of training in Egypt. It did more for him 40 years on the backside of the desert, God taking it out of him. But when he met God in a short time in the presence of God, it changed his life. And that's where I want to be today. I know it's where you want to be today. We want to be in His presence today. That's where He changes us. That's where He molds us and He makes us. We want to stay in His presence. We want His presence with us every moment of the day. We want His presence. And Zoan, I like that. I really like that. And Zoan, it's mentioned many times. Psalm 78, verse 12 says, marvelous things He did in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt in the field of Zoan. He went straight to where Pharaoh lives. And there's where He did the miracles, Brother Branham said. He did all those miracles, and he performed the God using Him. He did the miracles there. I'm glad today that we have a word of God today that no matter where we are, we don't have to be ashamed of it. We don't have to be afraid of what the world has to offer. We can be true believers today. The world today is scared of the coronavirus. There is fear among the people. I've seen it even in my workers at home that are not believers. They're saying, we could die. I said, yeah, they say that every day. We can die. But thank God for salvation. Thank God that we got up this morning and we didn't have a fear in our life. We didn't come to church and say, oh, I'm scared Brother Ron's going to be there and he's going to have a terrible virus. And I'm going to take it back. You know what we come to church this morning for? Hey, I came today because Jesus Christ is going to be in the midst, and I know what He can do for me. He can do joy unspeakable and full of glory. He'll do more than I can ever exceed or ask. He'll be more than I can ever think. That's the kind of God we serve today. He's greater than the coronavirus. Oh, He's greater than this world's life out there today. They don't want to admit the sins bringing things upon the world. But man's sin's what changes things. In the field of Zoan, God began to work in front of Pharaoh. Pharaoh saw the lice. So Pharaoh saw the frogs. He knew what it was to see hailstones come. He knew what it was to hear the cry of his people that the firstborn had died. He got to a place after all the miracles. He said, let them go. Give them what they want. Let them go. They marched out of Egypt. The soldiers were glad to see him go. The Egyptians were glad to see him go. Now let me tell you, the world, when they talk about the bride today, they probably say, oh, we'll be glad to see him go. But they don't know what's happening after we leave. So they came to Pharaoh and said, Pharaoh, the people fled. The children of Israel fled. The people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this? Why have we let Israel go from serving us? They still wanted to be served. They still thought they were above Israel. They thought they still had that right to be served. Well, let me tell you, when we get that in our idea, in our head, we're in trouble. A real servant of God doesn't expect people to serve him. We are supposed to be servants of God. You know, I was telling the young people the other night, you know, there's a little lady at home, works in a Mexican restaurant we go to. She told me, she said, Ron, she said, the worst day to serve food is on Sunday. Because if you make one mistake, there's church people who just come out of church who are supposed to forgive people when they do wrong, will let you have it for messing up their meal. She said, it's the worst day. I said, well, I pray that we're not doing that to you today. She says, oh, no. She says, you're not sure. People from your church are different. I said, thank God for that. That's why we want to be good examples, don't we? We want God. It's not us again. It's going His provided way. Amen. That's what we want today. And He made ready His chariot, and He took His people with Him. He took 600 chosen chariots. If you notice, they were chosen chariots. And all the chariots of Egypt and the captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand, as we talked about. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them in camping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth and for Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. The children of Israel were going out of Egypt. They were marching along following Moses. Maybe they didn't understand their journey. They didn't know where they were going to. They'd never been there before. Moses had been there, but they hadn't. Then they were following Moses. They said, "Moses, you know the way." He said, "Yes, I know the way." And here they were. They were, all their belongings they packed. Everything they took with them when they left. Not only are they packing their belongings, they're packing the spoil of Egypt with them. The different things that the Egyptians gave them, they took and they went with them. Their cattle's there with them. Their children are with them. The spoils of Egypt are with them. And now Pharaoh and him are saying, "Hey, we let them go." After they told him, they fled. They were afraid. They fled. But the scripture said they come out with a high hand. I want to say this today. This message of Malachi 4 will allow us to go out of Egypt with a high hand. It'll allow us to go down and say, "God sent a message this day." It picks us up when we can't keep ourselves. It'll hold us when we can't hold ourselves. It's an absolute to us today. We can believe the word of God. We believe it today. This message is who we are. It's who we want to be. Is this message of Malachi 4. So there they coming after them. Those in the back no doubt saw the dust coming toward them. They knew somebody was coming. They maybe hear the rumble of the horses' hoofs as they were headed their way. And they looked back. And they saw what was coming their way. These people are not dressed to say, "Hey, God bless you. We want to join you." They're coming with war. They've got their armor on. They've got their spears, their swords. They have seen those chariots in action before. They've seen those captains do their work before. They've seen them slaughter people before, and now they're coming for them. They're coming after them. And you would think, after all the miracles that God did for them in Egypt, as the scripture said, they begin to cry out to the Lord. But now some people cry out to the Lord a little different than what believers do. They begin to accuse God. You ever heard people pray, "God, why did you let this happen to me? God, why did this come my way?" They'll come after the pastor. A husband will go against wife, wife against husband, children against parents. They'll begin to cry, "Why did this happen to us? Why? Who?" I'm not going through life today looking for somebody to blame for my problems. I am looking to a God today who can take care of my problems. I want Him to take care of me. Oh, I want Him to save me. I know I can't save myself, but He can save me. Amen. So they pursued after Him. It even mentions the place, the communities, the cities where they were encamped. And there, when in Baal-Zephon and Baal-Hararoth there, he's coming and he's going to overtake them. They look back. If you notice, it mentions those several times. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, then they began to talk to Moses, is it because there were no graves in Egypt? Hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? They begin to blame Moses. Now let me say this. I know today in some camps the message is not popular. And I'm not going to dwell on that. Because it, you know, just because I don't like to dwell on negative things. But I'm going to say this today. In my camp, the message is popular. In your camp, the message is popular. In your camp, you know what God has done for you? Oh, they might say this or that, but I look back in my life and see what this message has done for me. Oh, let me tell you, I'm glad this morning the message came my way. I'm glad God searched and found me. I wasn't looking for him, but he come looking for me. And I'm glad of that this morning. Because there was no graves, did thou let us die out here? They begin to doubt that Moses was even called. After all the miracles that happened, all things that happened in the field of Zoan, in the front of Pharaoh, now they begin to accuse Moses. Wherefore hast thou dealt with thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Then they reminded him of something they told him when he was there. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone? Isn't it amazing that the first battle somebody comes up against, they're ready to turn on the very person beside them? Do we want to go into battle with a person like that? The first time. I remember as a kid, you know, the neighbors at home, we would build those, back when it snowed a good bit, we would build those snow forts and all the neighborhood kids, and we'd have the best snowball fight you ever seen. Snowball battles. And I had a friend, and his name was Paul Massey. And all we stood with each other. It didn't matter. We were back to back. We were battling the neighborhood. We would do it. But our other friends would walk away. And we'd say, well, I don't understand that we had the same fort, the same. They'd go join the other side because there's more of them than there were of us. And they would join their side with the fort and the same snowballs. Now they're throwing at us. And I said, I can't believe my friend just walked away and he joined the other side. Don't get me wrong, Hunter was all over with. We were still friends. But, you know, I thought that's the way it is. When we get in a battle, we need each other. You and I need each other. When we're in a battle, we need each other. I need your prayers. I need your support. I need your saying, hey, Brother Ron, we're thinking of you. We're praying for you. We need those things. We need each other. Let me tell you, as a church, we always want that in our church. We always want that in our congregation. We need each other. We surely do. Did we not tell thee in Egypt, let us alone, that we might serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. They were at a crossroads. The sea was before them. It looked like, Brother Branham said, God was a poor general. The sea was before them. But let me tell you, God didn't leave them alone. He sent his angel. The angel of the covenant come himself. And he stood between the Egyptians and the Israelites. It was a fire, a pillar of fire they followed of the night. It was a pillar of cloud by day. The Egyptians showed up ready for battle. They were ready to destroy the Israelites. But God didn't deliver his people out to let them die in the wilderness at the hands of the Egyptians. He had just delivered them from the Egyptians. Let me tell you today, God didn't call you out to let you die in the hand of doing drugs. let you die at the hand of committing adultery. He didn't call you out to where your life will change and go back to the world. He delivered us to carry us through. God delivered us today to carry us through. Oh, I'm glad. You know, I look back at my life and I see the twists and turns. And I said, God, thank you for grace. Thank you for watching over us, Lord. We could have failed right here. There's a place in our life. We could have failed here. We could have failed here. But God, rich in mercy, picked us up. He helped us when we couldn't help ourselves. He's a God rich in mercy. And so now the fire and the wind is there. The presence of God is there. The people can maybe see it before. They've been led by that pillar of fire. But they were, a cloud protected them. But now they can look and see it was between them and the Egyptians. And they knew they were safe. The Egyptians couldn't come through it. Their horses wouldn't go through it. Nighttime, the fire burnt. It protected them. Just the same way God protects us today. He watches over us and He protects us today. Now let me say this morning. And you may have heard this testimony. I might have told, I think, last time I was here. Did I tell you about the little boy we prayed for? I guess I did. I was working just a while back. As we're not going to go real long this morning. We're going to stop right there. We're going to finish it tonight. I was working a year or two back on a job in Clay County, West Virginia, Fola Coal Company. And we were working with a contractor. And this contractor, I usually don't give names, but I will in this case, because if you call him, he'll surely tell you the testimony. His name is Alan Ramsey. He's a contractor in West Virginia there. He lives in a little town called Bickmore. And so we were working, Daniel and I were, up in the around some pond sites and doing some work where the Sierra Club had sued the company there, and we were doing some day to work for them, to work between them and the lawyers and things before, so they could have their data for what they needed. And we were coming out of the hall that day. It was probably about 12, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. And Alan stopped me. Now, Alan is a sinner, even though he acts like a believer sometimes. You know, he's had a hard life, multiple marriages. He'll tell you, when he discusses his wives, when I was with number 2 or number 3, whatever it was, he'll tell you all that happened. But I like to give him credit. He takes care of his children. And so we were coming out of the mountains that day, and we were talking to him, and he said, aren't you a preacher? Well, I never talked about a preacher. In other words, I never said, hey, look, I'm a preacher. You got to listen to me. I just wanted to see I was a Christian. And as he said, aren't you a preacher? I said, well, I try to be. I sure do. I try my best. He goes, well, I want to tell you a story. He said, there's a little boy. This was just after Easter that year. He said, there was a little boy playing in my yard just a few days ago. I said, his mom and dad are divorced. And his dad lives in North Carolina. His mom lives here. I said, that little boy was playing in my yard with some of the children there. They were doing Easter activities, and he said, having a good time. I said, yes, sir. He said, and said, after that, said his mom was taking him somewhere else, and she was going too fast for the road. And said she was traveling up the road, and she ran off the road, and she hit a power pole. Head on, hit the power pole. And the power pole fell. She had 2 children in the car, one in the front seat, which is a little older, and little Leland Morris, that's his name, little Leland was in the back seat, and that power pole fell on top of him as he was sitting in the car seat. And so the little boy was in terrible shape. He said, they just medevaced him to the Charleston hospital, said, can you go see him? He said, will you pray for him? I said, well, sure, we'll be glad to pray for him. And we prayed for him there. And so I left. We left that site. We had to finish up what we were doing. And we got home that evening about 6 or 7 o'clock. And I told Daniel, he said, what are you going to do, Dad? I said, we're going to change clothes and we're going to go see that little boy in the hospital. And he said, well, you don't know any, you know. Dad said, we don't know what's happened. I said, no, we don't. He said, do you know the family? I said, nope, I've never laid eyes on them. But I said, I think we ought to go. So we cleaned up. We had mud all over us, dirt, scum. And we cleaned up. We drove to Charleston, an hour and 15, 20 minutes away. And I got to the hospital. I got to the intensive care. And a lot of the family was there. You could tell they were all distraught. You could tell it was a terrible blow to them. The relatives of little Leland were there. And I went and pressed a button in the intensive care unit. I said, I'm here to see Leland Morris. I said, I'm a minister, and I come to pray for him. They said, well, come on in. And so I went in, and there he was. He was in the bed. They had drilled a hole in his skull. They had tubes there. They were trying to relieve the pressure. He had extreme swelling, different things, IV tubes. You know how it is, all the different things they were trying to do for him. And his mom and dad was there. Of course, they were, you know, they'd been divorced before then, but they were both standing to bed. I said, I want to tell you something. This might be a surprise to you, but it's not a surprise to God. God knew before the foundational world that little Leland would be in that accident, and he knew he'd be laying in this bed. And I believe God is a God that hears our prayers. But I said, you know, I think it'd be a good time if we approach him the right way and pray for little Leland. And I looked at mother and said, you need to pray. And the father said, you need to pray. And both of them, there was no argument then. There was no fussing. They laid across the bed and they began to cry out to God. I said, you know, if you want God to change things, you approach him the right way. And they began to pray. And Daniel and I remember taking little Leland's hand on my finger. Because he was all, you know, he had all the tubes and all the IVs and all things. And I took him by the finger. I said, Lord, this is not a surprise to you. You saw this before the foundation of the world. And Lord, you can come in. Your angel can come by and you can touch him right here. I don't know the circumstance. I don't know all the conditions, but I believe God, you're a healer. And we stand on it and we believe it. It wasn't a 2-hour prayer. It was just a sincere prayer. And I talked to the parents and we left. We got home that night about midnight. That was on a Thursday night. And so the next morning I went to work and I said, has anybody heard about little Leland? And they said, no. I said, we haven't heard anything. I said, well, I guess no news is good news, is what I said. And then on through the weekend, I didn't hear anything. Monday, we were back working on the job. And this contractor owns a little dairy bar there. And so at lunchtime, we went down to get some lunch. And he was in there. The place was full of people. We're talking about all of his customers were in there. And we went over and we were sitting eating beside of the window on the far side of the restaurant. And here he come. And then, let me tell you, you'd have thought he was the preacher. Right. He said, you didn't know it, but said when you got there, they had just told him that boy had 1 hour to live. 1 hour to live. And he said, after prayer, that boy is doing good. They're talking about letting him go home at the end of the week. They were saying he was going to have to be, you know, have therapy to learn to walk again and do all those things. Well, he never had any of that. The Lord delivered him about all that. And he got down on his knees. He said, let me tell you this. And then I felt about that big. He said, thank you for taking the time to come to pray for little Leland. He said, it was that prayer that made a difference. I said, it was God that made a difference. Amen. It wasn't. And now, that's been a year and a half ago. Last week, I saw him again. We stopped by his restaurant, working in the area, and here he come. And I met a man from another business, and we were there having lunch. And we had already ordered our food. They hadn't brought it yet. He come down and said, I want to sit beside you. I said, you do? He goes, yep. And he said, you know that little boy? I said, yep. He said, he's doing good. I said, well, that's good. That's good, Alan. I'm glad. He said, I mean, he's doing real good. You'd never know he ever had a problem. You'd have never known he had ever been in an accident. You'd have never known God that the doctor said he had 1 hour to live. He said, he's doing good. I said, well, that's good. And we kind of talked a little bit. Then he brought our food. Let me tell you, he was the first one to take his hat off. He put his arm around me and thought, man, he's a praying brother. He said, I know you're going to pray. I said, yeah, we're going to pray over his food. And I began to give the other businessman there the testimony that God's still a healer. And we believe that today. God's still a healer. Amen. So we prayed and went on. But let me say this. As I told Daniel going home that day after we met him in the restaurant, what if we hadn't went by? I had all the excuse in the world. I'd already worked 14 hours that day. We worked from early that morning to that day. I'd already worked my 14 hours. I was dirty. I was tired. I was truly tired. But I said, there's something in here since we need to go see that little boy. Aren't you glad that God put somebody us on somebody's heart? And when we were sinners, said, you need to pray for that person. There was people fasted for us. There was people prayed for us. Oh, I still believe in fasting and prayer, don't you? I still believe God's still on the throne today. Oh, let me tell you, we're not fleeing. We're not ashamed. We're victorious today because we serve a mighty God. A mighty God. Let's just stand for prayer. God bless you this morning. You're good to preach too. Let's just bow our heads. How many this morning say, Brother Ron, I have needs in my life. I feel like I'm in my journey. Sometimes I'm in low places. Sometimes I'm in dry places. Sometimes I think I'm around walls. I really need God to come on the scene. Help me in my situation, in my life. God bless you this morning. God bless you this morning. We thank God for that today. How many this morning say, Brother Ron, I never close the service, and I'll ask this. My heart's not right with God, but I want it to be. I want my heart right with Him. God bless you this morning. How many this morning say, Brother Ron, I believe this message is true. We didn't flee from Satan. We walked out victorious. We realized that God was greater than our obstacles in our lives. We realized He was greater than those habits that had us bound. He was greater than anything we would think or say or do. He's greater than those things. And I want to be a real believer this morning. I want to stay true to the Word. God bless you this morning. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, You laid this upon our heart, Lord. Lord, we had thoughts of going another way. But Lord, last night You began to deal with us. Lord, to go this way. And we thank You for that, Father. That Lord, You're mindful of us. You're mindful of what we need, Lord. And Lord, You see the hands that was raised today. Lord, there are situations here, God. There's things that people's going through. They're fighting that battle in their mind. Lord, they're fighting things that Satan has come up against them. But Lord, let them look back in their life. And Lord, may that revelation strike forth, Lord, that, oh God, we didn't flee from Satan. We were victorious. You conquered death, hell, and the grave. Lord, you are our victor today. We're not looking at what we are, Lord. We're looking at what you did. You've won the battle for us. You have overcome. We thank you for that today, Lord. And Lord, you see the hands was raised. They want their heart right with you, as we all do it here today, Lord. And Lord, you see, we all want to be real believers. Help us, Lord, today. And Lord, we thank you, Father, that you come by, touched our hearts and lives. And Lord, you pick us up when we're down, Father. You hold us when we're in the battle. Oh, you put the spring in our step when we're victorious, God. We thank you for that, Father. Be with us now, we pray. Name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing this song. In the presence of Jehovah, Almighty, He's
I
like an eagle to the heights, all among the peaks, my soul. Satan, this one is mine. With my faith all the
Moment. We'd had a brother ask if he could share a testimony, and I think initially he meant for Brother Furman to share the testimony, but we just asked him, Brother Jonathan, would you come this morning and just share this with us, and I believe it'll be a blessing to you. Amen. God bless you.
Well, I wasn't expecting this. As he said, I called Brother Furman yesterday and was just telling him I had a testimony and something I was wanting to say to the church. And he had said something about me getting up here and telling it myself. And so I told him I'd pray about it, and I was going to write some notes, but that didn't happen. So, you know, here we go. So you guys, just bear with me. So there was just a couple things I was wanting to say was, you know, one, I've suffered with migraine headaches for over 30 years. First one I got, I was 12 years old. And if anybody has ever truly had a migraine headache, you know it's not just a typical, you know, headache that you have. I mean, it's actually, you know, considered a disease. And, you know, with me, my vision will blur. I mean, I can be standing out, you know, looking out at you guys, and I can, you know, vision will start blurring on this side. I can't see anything over there, and then it'll kind of move into the middle and all the way across, and that's how you know it's coming on. The headaches don't typically start until after that, and most people that have had a migraine have a similar experience with that. But I'd been suffering with that. You know, I'd probably have maybe 1 to 5 of them a year. But, I mean, when they hit, I mean, they're horrible. I mean, it's, you know, grab the strongest pain medicine you can find, followed by maybe a Fenugreek or something just to knock yourself out. And so any plans that you have for the day or, you know, whether it be work or whatever, I mean, that's pretty much over for the day. And then even the after effects, I mean, it's bad themselves, horrible. You know, you can't move your head very quickly, or, you know, it just, you know, there's a lot that goes with them. But I had one, I don't know, I think it was about 6 months ago. And I woke up, you know, after, and, you know, head was sore and everything. And I thought to myself, and I just prayed right then. I said, you know what? I said, that is the last one I'm having. And I just, you know, I was just like, I'm just going to hold to that, you know. And so yesterday, I played basketball with a group of guys in the morning, and I come home, and I was feeling good, and sit down on the couch with Alina, and she was watching some cartoons, and I look up at the screen, and, man, I see that spot, you know, in my eye. And, you know, immediately it's like, oh, man, you know what it is. I sit there for a minute, and it starts getting worse, and I just leaned my head back, and I thought, I just prayed. I said, you know, Lord, I said, you know, last time, I said that was the last time, and I said, I'm not going to get up from this couch. I'm not going to take anything for this. You know, I said that was it. I took you at your word, and I'm believing, and now you're obligated to honor my faith. And that vision kept getting worse and worse and worse. I wouldn't do anything. I got up, went and got in the shower, got ready for the day, and it had went all the way across. It had left. That's when the headache, you know, is going to come on. I didn't tell the kids. I didn't say anything to anybody, but Sarah came in. We had a whole day planned out. 30 minutes had gone by. An hour went by. Nothing ever happened, you know. And it was just like, you know, just thanking God that you know, I just took him at his word, and just the result of that is just, it's just so amazing, you know. Just something that can seem so small is just so big to us, and it was just an incredible thing. And I just, you know, like I said, I've never got up and given a testimony before, but I just felt, you know, after battling that for over 30 years, that was just an amazing thing to me. And you know, but and then just real quick, if I can just say to this church, I just want to truly and sincerely thank this church. You know, most of you guys know us, have known us for a long time, and I don't know if, you know, the majority of you probably don't know our testimony as far as our marriage that was over with, and just where we were at as individuals, where my girls were at, and you know, it, no offense to anybody here, but it was like, me and Sarah had no intentions of coming to church, you know, and you know, my friend, Brother Trevor, he just kept encouraging just to try it here, and you know, I didn't really, wasn't very fond of Brother Nathan before, and had no intentions of liking him after I got here, you know. But we came, you know, he's going to get you. You know, if you're his, you know, he's going to get you one way or another. And you know, he got our girls in a situation to where we knew we had to figure something out. So, I mean, we got them in church, and the more I would sit here, the more I'd listen to Brother Nathan, it was like, man, I just couldn't find anything to disagree with him on. And you know, the more I was around him, it just, in this church, you know, Brother Branham talked about, you know, the church taking on the spirit of the pastor. And I was talking to Brother Joel, you know, a while back, and we've been to a lot of churches, you know, message churches, you know, I have never been to a church that was more accepting and just arms open as you guys. And that says a lot about the pastor of this church, you know. But you guys just have no idea what you meant to myself and my family. And I just wanted to, from the bottom of my heart, say we really appreciate you all. And God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Well, I had a few things that I wanted to say. It would have been a lot easier just to tell Brother Furman to come up and take over after that, but I don't feel like I'm deserving of that, but I appreciate what Brother Jonathan said and appreciate this church, appreciate the love that you show people, and people recognize that. We hear testimonies all the time about the love that the people show here, and so I'm thankful for that. What a testimony that it is. Appreciate Brother Jonathan and his family. I know that was a little bit out of his comfort zone, but I knew it would be a blessing to the people. Didn't know all that he was going to share, but just knew a few things that he wanted to say about thanking the church and about the healing that God blessed him with. We're thankful for that. Before we close, I got a couple of statements I want to make. First of all, Brother Layton got ahead of me. Lord willing, next Sunday we'll be looking at Psalm 91, and he felt led to read that this morning. I think it's a very timely psalm, and actually I had got to fellowshipping back and forth with Brother Jonathan Sanger about some things. I believe he is a nurse practitioner, and we got to talking about some of the things going on, just the national and global scare right now, and some things that the message and the scriptures say about it. So we started sending each other quotes and scriptures back and forth, and I told him kind of the lines that I was feeling led to preach next Sunday, and he said, oh, I'm thinking about preaching along something similar to that. And so we started sharing more quotes and scriptures back and forth, and so just looking forward to what the Lord might have for us then. But I believe God does everything just on time and works on both ends of the line. Also, I know Brother Furman already mentioned it, but Brother Buckles, certainly good to see you in service this morning. Our brother has gone through, he fell and broke one of his major leg bones, and it's been a couple months since he's been in service due to recovery from that and being in the hospital and surgery and rehab and everything. And I know his testimony has always been, every time we go to visit him, that he appreciates all of the brothers that came during that time and visited him. I know many brothers, the deacon brothers and different minister brothers and different ones. I know Brother Furman and my dad and different ones also that went and saw him many times. And we certainly appreciate a church as well that has a heart to do that. And I know I feel that if it was me that was laying there and couldn't come to church or couldn't get out and see other people, I'd want somebody to come visit me. So he told me the other day when we went to visit, he said, "I'm about ready to come back, I think." And I said, "Well, you just tell us when you're ready, and we'll make sure somebody can pick you up in a vehicle that you can get in and out pretty easily." And so, you know, in this age when the governors and things are asking churches and things to cancel services, and I thought, here Brother Buckle's 90 years old and recovering from surgery and from a broken leg, but the coronavirus couldn't keep a good man down, so... We certainly appreciate him coming out and being with us this morning, and just pray that the Lord will continue to strengthen his leg. He's getting around on a walker right now, but I know before long he'll have that to the side as well and be getting around like normal. So praise the Lord for how far he's come so far. Brother Ron, certainly appreciate the service this morning. Looking forward to what the Lord has on his heart for tonight, and appreciate him coming all this way and being a part of our banquet and speaking to the young people. He did a wonderful job, and I know I'd mentioned it there, but just before the whole church, I just want to say thank you so much to those that helped in preparations for that. And I know there was a lot of people involved, but especially my wife and Brother Trevor and Sister Anna May and Brother Attila and Sister Joanna. They put a lot of hours into the decorations and the games and the centerpieces and different things for that. And I told Brother Ron they did all of it. All I did was I just kept swiping the church card and carrying things in and out for them. That's all I really did. But I was glad to be a part of it. So, but we were certainly happy for that and appreciate that. Appreciate all the Brother Stephen and Sister Jennifer and all the couples that helped them did for the younger group of young people. Brother Stephen opened up his home for that many young people. He's braver than I am. And all that they did for the meal and things there for the young people and the activities there. And it sounds like it was just a blessing to the young people. And we certainly are thankful for a group of people that will put forth their efforts to be a blessing to others. Also, one other thing, I feel like lately, in the last week or two especially, I've got several prayer requests from people. Some of them have texted and some of them have called. And you've almost been apologetic, some of you, about sorry to bother you for a prayer request, and because you know that, you know, so you say, well, we know you're busy or you're under pressures or things like that, and I'll just be honest, I am busy and I am under pressures, and so if you're calling to gossip about your neighbor or something like that, I'm probably too busy. But I'm never too busy for a prayer request. Even if it's 3 or 4 in the morning and it's an emergency or something urgent, as long as I hear the phone ringing, I can't promise if I'm in a dead sleep that I always will. But if I hear it or the text or whatever it be, I'm never too busy for a prayer request or to try to come and pray for somebody. Just like Brother Ron was talking about this morning, what if we didn't do that sometimes? So don't ever feel bad about bothering me for a prayer request. I'm always, night or day, whenever I can, feel free to text or call or however is easier for you about a prayer request. We're always happy to receive those. And Brother Jimmy had actually texted during service and said that Sister Patty, she's sick to her stomach this morning with complications and pain and stuff from the surgery. So let's just stand together before we dismiss this morning. Let's have a word of prayer for our sister. Dear Jesus, Lord, we thank you for We thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. And thank you for your mercy and your grace to us. Thank you for testimonies of your healing power, Lord. Testimonies we heard from Brother Ron and Brother Jonathan and different ones that we've heard testimonies of, Lord. So we know that you're a healer. Father, I pray that you'd go and be with our sister this morning, touch her and heal her body. Lord, she's been through so many surgeries and faced so many trials and tribulations. The enemy seemingly always to attack her. But Father, we also see that you always come on the scene victorious. And we just expect and believe, Lord, that you'll come on the scene and honor your word again for our sister. Touch her and heal her body. May a testimony come forth from it. Be with each one, Lord, as we go our separate ways. May we not go from your presence, Lord, and all the panic and scare and things over germs and diseases and things that are facing us in this last day. Father, I pray that you would just grant peace and protection to your bride, Lord, around the world. Lord, keep us safe and keep us in good health, Lord, not only just so for our own good, but Lord, so that we can be a help to others. Lord, I pray that you'd protect us as we go our separate ways on the roads and everywhere we would go, Father, and use us to be a witness, Lord. As Brother Ron was talking this morning, may we when we're in the restaurants or wherever we would go, may we live a testimony and a witness that others could see, that others could know that we're really a Christian, not somebody with just a label of Christianity or a label of the message, but somebody that really lives a life so that others could see and that could be impacted by it. And so that when there's a need and a time of urgency, that they would have someone they could reach to and ask for prayer. Father, help us, Lord, to live that kind of life and that kind of example. We give you the glory and the praise. Bring us back at the appointed time, Lord, for what our brother would have on his heart for us tonight. In Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen. Amen. Let's sing this before we go this morning. When pangs of death seized o'er my soul, unto the Lord I cried. Oh, till my Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied. Oh, no, I would not be denied. Oh, no, I would not be denied. Till my
for us this evening. Hope you have time for one more short testimony. Sister April sent this to the family, but I felt led to share it. Thank you for your prayers. Talking about Ethan, he started feeling better around 11:45. By 12:30, he was asking for oatmeal. He seems perfectly fine now by God's grace. We know that Ethan is healed by his divine promise. It was a pretty dark time this morning. He was just dry heaving and empty stomach, and he couldn't really tell us, was it his head, was it his belly? I don't know. It might be his medicine. So please pray for wisdom on that end. We're just praying that it's something that'll not manifest again. But, you know, do I go to church? Does she stay home? Well, you're the song leader. Well, if I wasn't the song leader, you know, you just, it's just a battle. And, it, you know, there's, of course, there's people here to sing. We felt led for her to stay. I said, well, tonight, you know, Lord willing, we'll all be able to go. If not, I'll stay with him. But you pray. The reason I say all of that, nobody put pressure on me to come, is that you pray for Sister April. She bears a lot of, a big load taking care of him, but it's just part of his testimony. So I say all of that to glorify God for Ethan's healing and appreciate your prayers. Somebody was praying at 11:45 and God heard it. So thank you. Let's sing it as we go and you're dismissed. I would not be denied. Oh, no. Till Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied. Oh, Satan says this message is wrong, there's mistakes here and there. Oh, but praise the Lord, vindication has been done, Christ the mystery of God is revealed. Oh, no, I would not be denied. Oh, no, I would not be denied. Till Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied. As Jacob in the day, denied.